Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adesk, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Friday, June 20th, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Hey, Melody.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, what a day it was. Active day in, here at Discount Gold and Silver. And, of course, a little bit of pullback in gold today and the gold prices after the big run we saw yesterday. And so a little bit of a pullback, that back $5 at 1316. Silver was up 11 at 2097. Platinum was down 16 at 1461, along with palladium down 18 at $824. Well, we'll go through the rest of the market numbers, and then we'll go back just to give a recap of what gold has done. The USDX today was up 3 today at 80.35. Crude oil, the WTI 107, up 0.83. And the paper markets today, oh, all three major stocks end the week with gains of more than 1%. And, of course, the S&P record territory with a whole gain of 3 points at 1962. Why don't they just hit 2000 and get it over with? The same way with the Dow. Let it hit 17,000 and get it over with. The Dow was up 26 points at 16,947. And the NASDAQ was up 8 at 43.68. If you have all this trillions of dollars going into the markets, that's all they can get out of it is 26 points or 3 points. You know, I guess it's just enough to keep the, you know, the general populace out there happy.
Don't keep you in suspense.
Well, no. The general populace.
They used to have a movie on TV years ago, and I can remember that was part of the logo, and we will keep you in suspense. And that's what they're doing right now to hoist. It creates interest. And so, when is it going to go over 17,000? When is it today or tomorrow, next week? And once it goes over 17,000, it's going to be a while before we see another truly significant milestone. You're going to have to get up to 17,000 before anybody pays much attention, if you catch my drift. 17,1 isn't going to mean, or 18,000, excuse me. Yeah, 17,100, that ain't going to mean anything. 200 now, 3, 4, 5, and so on. You got to have to get up to 18,000, and that's going to take a while. Can they maintain public interest? Well, the Dow Jones works its way from 17,000 to 18,000.
And for those of the folks who have their money, you know, the paper in there, you know, just get it protected. That's all. Don't let it sit there for something to happen, and then you lose all the gains that you have. And that's the problem. That's what people do. They just keep it there. They're told not to sell. They're making gains. And the next thing you know, oh, gee, I lost 5%. Well, I'll just hold on a little bit longer, and maybe it'll come back, and then I'll sell. Well, then it's down another 5. Oh, well, now it's 10. I'll wait till it's just... You can never pick the highs. You can never pick the lows. So whenever you get close, that's when you make decisions. The 10-year yield today is basically unchanged at 2.62%. But we had a good day yesterday, Al. Gold shot up a little more than 3% yesterday, and that was the biggest one-day gain since 2013. Prices were a little over the pale, you know, off, up and down today. And
yeah, but it's not bad. That's not much of a a retreat. $4 or $5 today after going up $42 yesterday. You know, everybody who's invested in gold look at that and say, "Yeah, I'm pleased."
So far this month, gold prices have risen nearly 6%.
6% in the month
since gold prices have risen nearly 6%. Yes. But again, we're not sure if this is the big breakout that we've been expecting for gold. I think there's still a lot of pressure to be seen with gold hitting these numbers prior to the summer. But it's a little interesting to have this type of a gain right before we go into the summer doldrums. So perhaps it won't be such doldrums this year. It's something that we're going to have to sort of wait and see. I certainly do believe by the end of the year we will definitely have some bigger gains in the price of gold. And there's still speculation on, you know, what made gold move higher yesterday. A lot of them have been thinking that it's been a little bit of a delayed reaction to the Federal Reserve. I don't think that was it. Certainly the tension in Iraq. I think everyone was sort of anticipating Obama saying that we would actually be perhaps boots on the ground more than just the 300 that he decided to send. I think that might have had an impact along with the largest refinery in Iraq being closed. So
I think it may be a reaction to inflation. Despite the fact government claims...
That was my third one, Al. You didn't let me get there yet. But go ahead.
Well, excuse me.
But you're
the
right.
The point is the government keeps telling us, oh my gosh, we need 2% inflation. Anybody who looks around understands we got that. All right, we've got that and we've got more. And the government is trying to sell us on the idea that we aren't up to 2% inflation yet. And some sources, I mean, if I recall correctly, John Williams, he'll tell you we're 6%, 7%. Right? I think whatever the true rate of inflation is, everybody has finally reached a point where they're beginning to pay attention to their own eyes and ears. They're saying, you know, inflation is real. It's happening. It's accelerating. And what do I do to protect myself? And traditionally, the answer to inflation is gold.
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct. And someone was telling me today, last week, they buy their chicken and their packages. They buy the same package week after week. Mm-hmm. Last week, they paid $8. This week was $12. That's huge.
It's 50%.
That's huge.
50% in 1 week.
So
that's what I'm talking about. I've seen some reports that anticipate food prices will go up 20% or more in the next 12 months. Think about that. You know, for people that are living hand to mouth right now, we're going to eat. We're going to eat. That's one thing. We may give up going to movies and buying new computer screens and new flat screen TVs and a new car, but we're going to eat. And if the price of food is going up 20%, it necessarily means that some other part of our budget is going to be reduced. It also means that when we reduce part of our another portion of our budget, it means that some people who are working. If we're not going to buy any more flat-screen TVs, then guess what? They're going to lay off, the companies are going to do less business, and they're going to lay off some people who are currently making flat-screen TVs. If we're paying 20% more for food, we're paying 20% less for something else, and it means that some parts of American retailers, distributors, manufacturers, some of them are going to see a reduction, and that can't be good for the economy. Because the truth of the matter is, if the price of food goes up, it doesn't mean, it's not going up because we are employing 20% more people out in the fields to pick the crops. It's not going up because we have 20% more trucks to haul the crops, or 20% the price of gasoline is up 20%, or diesel fuel is up 20%. It means the price is going up without adding any employees to the economy. It's not going to add any jobs to the economy, but prices will still get higher. That means that 20% has to come out of some other portion of the economy. Can't be good.
Well, you take the example of this chicken going from 8 to 12. Well, that money would have gone into, you know, entertainment or retail or, you know, some other area. And this was just one item.
Yeah.
You multiply all these other items up and, you know, it's going to have a big impact on the economy.
So. And one of the other impacts, the other obvious point, we've already mentioned it, but just to reiterate, people will look at the increase in the price of food, and despite what government tells them about inflation, they're going to know inflation is real. And some of them are going to start adjusting their investments accordingly. They're going to sit back and say, listen, I know, I don't care what Obama says, I don't care what the Bureau of Labor Statistics says, I know inflation is taking place. And this goes to a change in mindset. All right, the public mindset is going to move, and maybe moving right now, to where it says, oh, you know, I think there's inflation. And insofar as they think that, then there's a logical consequence, and that is gold, which should cause the price of gold to rise.
All the technical, and the long-term and short-term for gold, basically put gold in a new long-term trend as we broke out of these numbers yesterday. So I think next week will be an important week for the precious metals, for gold and silver, and perhaps it'll give us a little more idea of the $40 move yesterday.
What do you think the price of gold will be, higher or lower, next Friday than it is right now?
Ask me that question on Monday.
I'll ask you Monday of the following week.
It's really difficult. We've had a large jump. I mean, I could sit here and say, oh, it's going higher, it's going higher. I mean, there's so many things that are going on. I mean, that could reverse it one way or another. The long-term trend for gold is higher, period. There isn't any other way it's going to go. We're going to have ups and downs, and we've had this pullback down to these levels, you know, for roughly a year. And that was a pullback in a long-term trend at that point in time in a bull market. We've had it, and I believe we're heading into another bull market. This country, our economy, we're in dire straits. You have to be living on another planet not to see it. And we talk about this day in and day out, and we don't add any sensationalism in order to get your attention. Maybe we should. You know, I let other people do that. We bring you the truth as we see it, and that we can back it up. We just don't create stuff and pull things just because of we can. But I mean, now people have to be, why can't they see what is going on?
Well, they do. They see it in their own time. But again, you know, I refer to this periodically, but the Declaration of Independence, it says all experience has shown that men are more likely, are more inclined, I can't remember the exact words, but it says they are more disposed to suffer evils while evils remain sufferable than to take action to right their condition.
That's true for those who aren't paying attention, but you'd think those
it's true for people who are. It's true for people who are paying attention. It's not just true for those who don't. It's true for people who are. And the truth of the matter is people have a kind of inertia where we are all disinclined. We can see things that we should do. All right, we should, the lawn needs to be mowed, but maybe not until tomorrow or maybe Sunday or maybe I can find time on Monday. We'll watch and see. We tend to procrastinate. We know what we should do, but we have a tendency to procrastinate. And it's part of human nature for most of us. A handful of people don't procrastinate. They see what needs to be done. They do it. And then they watch for the next thing that needs to be done. And they do that. And they do that. And over a period of years and over a period of a lifetime, that typically translates into some significant prosperity, perhaps even genuine wealth. But those of us who are caught, I know what I should do, but I get that tomorrow. Well, we don't prosper as well, that's all. And I doubt that there's anyone listening to this program that would say that they don't fall into that category to at least some extent. It's not a question of knowledge. Do you know what's happening in the economy? Do you know what's going to happen? Do you know what's going to happen to the price of gold? Everybody in this listening to this program understands what I'm talking about. I'm not teaching them something that no one is saying, oh my gosh, you'll never believe this. I just heard this guy talking on the radio and he says the price of gold is going to go up. I don't think we've got anybody like that listening to this program. All right? It's not going to be a surprise. The problem isn't knowledge. The problem is our inclination to get up off the couch and do something. Will you pull the trigger? And if not, well, all right, fine, that's your choice. But you can't blame people later on and say, oh, gee, I could have done this, I could have done that, I could have, would have, should have. Get up off the couch, do something. What do you see that needs to be done? Huh? All of you do. All of you pretty much agree. But all of you, or at least a significant percentage of you, are still prepared. We'll wait. We'll get it Monday. Maybe Tuesday. Maybe next week or next month or whatever. We'll get to it. And chances are what that means is you won't get to it. Then you're going to see the price of gold going up. And then you're going to say, oh my gosh, I could have bought gold when it was only $1,300 an ounce. I don't want to buy it at 14 because I could have bought it at 13 and make me feel stupid. Yeah, well, wait till it gets to 19, and then 20 and 25. No, there's nothing, you know, it's the old business. You can lead the horse to water. You can't make the horse drink. That's the same thing with people. You can show them the water. You don't have to go splash in the water and pour it out of a pitcher and into a glass or something like that. Show the horse, look, water. You know, the horse gets it. It's water. But the horse, it's not going to drink until it gets thirsty. And what can you say?
Well, it's just, I hate to relish the idea that saying, we told you so. Over the years, Al, so many people I wished I had listened to you, Melody. Mm-hmm. I wish, just like you said, I wished I did this. I wished I did that. I should have done that, but I didn't, because I was listening to someone, and there's something floating around on the internet where this person is saying that Harry Dent is saying gold is going to go to $700. Mm-hmm. Now, I know a lot of people don't believe that, but I do know a lot of people have fallen under his guise that gold is going to drop to $700. But all you have to do is analyze what he says and what he writes. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out where he is wrong at.
Well, I looked. You sent me an article on Mr. Dent, and I read his article one time, his comments.
Mm-hmm.
And there were parts of it that were just incomprehensible to me, and I don't know if I was just getting spacey in my old age or what, but I couldn't make sense of it, and I just dropped it. I haven't gone any further with it. But gold is not going to $700 an ounce, but if it does, I don't mind. Again, all that means is more for me. It's like saying we're going to throw a rubber ball as hard as we can at the concrete slab on the porch behind the house. All right? And everybody, and people are saying, oh my gosh, it'll go through the concrete slab. And I'm saying, no, it won't. If we throw it hard enough, it's going to bounce right over the top of the house. All right, I'd go to $700 an ounce. I don't believe that's going to happen. But if it does, it means more gold for me. And it only means that the ultimate rebound is going to be that much harder, that much higher, that much faster. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedars Tremont Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Okay, folks, I'm Alfred Addis, and I'm here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. All your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
A last day for the special. I've been running all week. We're going to keep it at the lower prices. Now, I repriced the package, and if I repriced it in the new numbers for gold and silver, it would be $57 higher. The almost uncirculated $5 Liberty gold piece, along with 20 silver eagles, plus your free silver eagle for $888. And again, we do have just a very limited supply left, but I will offer that for the last day of the for this week. And again, if I repriced it, it would be $57 higher. So it's an incredible opportunity to get some great savings, and I think we probably have about 10 of those left. So again, we don't have very many left at that lower price. Now, if you want to pay the higher price, if you want 20 packages, we'll give you the 10 at the low price and then readjust the price. But it is a great, great savings. 800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188.
I've got an article here, just a brief little comment. It's about the month of August. And the Chinese call it silver pockets full, meaning that apparently they think this is a lucky month. And here's why. This is something that, according to the report I have, I haven't, you know, I don't know if this is exactly, I know what the fundamentals of this is true. They claim this happens once every 823 years. We'll see this in August. We won't see it again for 823 years. So, and what it is we're going to see, we have 31 days in August. Each week, 7 weeks is 7 days long, so you got 4 weeks plus 3 days. Now, normally you expect to see one day for each, you know, each of the 7 days of the week. You'll see four of them, four Mondays, four Tuesdays, four Wednesdays, and then there'll be an extra 3 days where you'll see an extra Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, or you'll see an extra Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or whatever. You'll see three extra days on there. But this month, we're going to see five Fridays, five Saturdays, and five Sundays in the month of August. You're going to have on Friday the 1st, 8th, 15th, 22nd, and 29th. That's a Friday, and there'll be five of them. Then you'll have five Saturdays on the 2nd, the 9th, 16th, 23rd, and 30th. And then you're going to have five more Sundays on the 3rd, the 10th, 17th, 24th, and the 31st. Now, it's not exactly big news, but it's not big news, but it's kind of interesting. It's one of those little mathematical anomalies that takes place every 823 years. It's like clockwork, Melody.
What I find interesting about it is the silver pockets full, the Chinese. And, of course, we all know that they will be adjusting the silver fix that month. Coincidence? Don't know. But it might prove August to be a very active month. But what's interesting about this year, Al, there's a lot of strange things. We have blood moons this year. We have this going on with August. I don't know. There was a blue moon I recently saw.
Makes you wish you'd pay more attention when you're in math class back in high school, doesn't it?
I don't know, but it's,
you know, I could have learned some of that. I could have applied. There we are 50 years later. You know, I could have applied some of that.
Coincidence, or does it mean anything? Does it tell us, you know, the blood moons, we still have that to talk about. And when you see the Middle East unfolding as it is, I mean, there could be a lot of things going on by the end of the year that to add some credence to those blood moon predictions. So interesting.
Yeah, no, it's all interesting. I mean, I will not die of boredom. Melody.
But it's all coming together, and it's kind of fascinating.
It's coming together or coming apart?
It depends on what you follow.
It's a glass half empty or half full. That's where we kind of are right now. We're kind of on the bubble.
I mean, if you look at this as a spiritual and biblical, it's unfolding as it should.
Yeah, from a spiritual perspective,
yes.
You believe in end times.
It is.
You can't look around and say, no, we're not in end times now. I mean, I don't mean that we are in end times in the sense of the 3.5 years out of the 7. That's not what I'm talking about. 3.5 years where we supposedly have peace and then 3.5 years of trauma. And I'm not talking about the final 7 years, but I am suggesting you can't look at circumstances and deny that there's a good chance that we are somewhere just before that final 7 years begins. 3.5 good years, apparent peace, 3.5 years of tribulation. We aren't in those 7 years yet, but we're only a few years away from them, in my opinion. And you look around and you say, you got to admit, even if you don't believe in end times, you got to admit, well, I can see why people might think so.
So in that respect, it's coming together. If you view it on earthly terms, it's falling apart. So, anyway.
Probably right. Here's something on Iraq. We've all seen this, heard about it a little bit. Obama will send 300 advisors to Iraq. and he's open to targeted action. This is in the Washington Times. President Obama said Thursday that he's sending up to 300 military advisors to Iraq to aid the urgent fight against the advancing Sunni militants. You know, come on. What are 300 guys going to do? All right, against the advancing Sunni militants? They're taking over cities and chunks of Iraq, big pieces of land. And if the Iraq government, the Iraqi government, and its own army can't stop the militants coming in, I don't see how 300 special forces are going to do that. And I know they can be used as advisors, and they can help train, and they can coordinate, and much other things, but truth of the matter is, I don't think the Iraqi government can instill sufficient morale in the Iraqi army to wage an effective fight. They might be good enough to kick Iraqi citizens around. They might be good enough to run a police state. But when there's someone coming at them who's shooting at them, I don't think they've got the nerve for the fight. You know, like most police states, they can kick the unarmed around and no trouble. They can be big and bad. But when somebody starts shooting back, all of a sudden the police state starts running. And I think that's what we're seeing to some extent. I think, you know, that's not exactly accurate, but I think there's some truth to it for Iraq. Speaking to a White House meeting with his top national security advisors, Mr. Obama stopped short of ordering airstrikes against the insurgents, but he said he might take targeted action if necessary. He might. All right, meaning he's not going to shoot everybody, but he might shoot some of them. Might go after their leaders or who knows. Of the insurgents. President emphasized that he won't send U.S. troops back into combat in Iraq. But he is sending 300 special forces. First reports we heard on that, they were going to defend the embassy. Who knows what they're going to actually do. American combat troops are not going to be fighting in Iraq again, Mr. Obama said. We do not have the ability to simply solve this problem by sending in tens of thousands of troops and committing the kinds of blood and treasure that has already been expended in Iraq. The truth of the matter is, we have never had the ability to simply solve this problem by sending in tens of thousands of troops and spending billions or trillions of dollars. We didn't have it when Bush started this thing in 2003. We didn't have the ability. This was stupid from the first day that somebody came up with some cock and bull story about weapons of mass destruction. We never stood a chance. And the reason is that we fight as secular warriors. We fight as atheists, and the Muslims fight as spiritual. They are engaged in spiritual warfare. And they can't quit. They can't compromise. They won't quit. They'll fight to the death. We aren't. We don't. Right? We don't have anything to fight for other than somebody's bottom line. See how much money we can make. We never stood a chance. Obama's admitting it now, at least implicitly, when he says we do not have the ability to simply solve this problem by sending in thousands, tens of thousands of troops and money. So we already did that. Didn't work. Obama took the troops out 3 years ago out of Iraq, and now where are we? The whole place is blowing up again. Lesson, we shouldn't have been there in the first place. One of the things that interests me is the announcement was nevertheless a turnabout under pressure from Mr. Obama, who was confronted with a swiftly advancing terrorist organization in Iraq after taking credit for ending the war there 3 years ago. Obama brought home all the troops from Iraq. Yay! Mr. Obama spoke of the need for a political solution in Iraq. Why didn't we need a political solution when George W. Bush invaded in 2003? Now we need a political solution. Why? Because we know we can't win a military solution. That's why. So we need a political solution in Iraq and refuse to say, Obama we're talking about, Obama refused to say whether the U.S. still has confidence in Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki, whom the administration blames for inflaming sectarian divisions in OPEC's second largest oil producer. In other words, it used to be the Sunnis that were running Iraq under Saddam Hussein. And they oppressed the Shiites. But now, when we came in, we turned the government over to the Shiite majority. And now they oppress the Sunnis. And because Maliki's government oppressed the Sunnis, Obama blames him for fomenting the distributed trauma and tribulation we see there right now. And the truth of the matter is, all of this flows from having two religious sects that are fundamentally opposed, that have been opposed for centuries. This isn't a recent, the schism between the Sunnis and the Shiites is not something that turned up in the last 20 or 30 years. This has been going on almost since the moment the Prophet Muhammad died. And it goes to a struggle of who is going to be in charge of the Muslim faith. And some of them think it's the elders, and some of them think it's a bloodline, and I don't know which is which, but it doesn't matter. On one level, it doesn't matter. All that is important is they are diametrically opposed. They are both motivated by their faith. They can't compromise. No compromise is possible, which means when these people get to fighting, it's going to be to the death. That's where this is going, though. So, our best advice on this is just stay out of it. You know, it's going to be a mess. Sorry about that, but there's nothing to be done other than you've got to either completely kill all the Sunnis or kill all the Shiites, one or the other. Long as any of them remain, the other side is going to say, let's get them. Huh? That's what's going to happen. So, Obama's up to his neck in it right now, and what's he going to do? Send in advisors. Part of the reason that's important is, although he says there'll be no ground troops fighting in, we won't put any combat troops on the ground in Iraq, once you put those 300 in and the rebels sneak up and kill a dozen or 20 or 100 of them, then we'll have to send in a division or at least a battalion. Yep. The next thing you know, we are back in there. Yep. In a war that we can't win and we can't afford. Or, in the alternative, we're just going to send a couple hundred American special forces in there, and they're maybe going to get killed. And as Hillary Clinton says, what's the big deal? What does it matter? That's going to be the government's import. What does it matter? We'll send them in, they'll die, big deal, and so what? I don't know. You look at it, and you just sit back and say, my God, the world is mad. And the craziest ones of all, we get to vote for them for public office. Yeah. What else we have, Melody?
Well, I got a comment in from Murray. He had one earlier about gold, and I saw this one. He says, Iraq is Arabic for Vietnam.
Yeah, I understand. In fact, we've got some comments here from an article written by Martin D. Weiss, Ph.D., talking about Iraq falling. Now what? That's the headline on the article. That's the title on the article. And what we'll do is we're going to take our break. Well, we've got 40 seconds or so before we begin our next break. When we come back, we'll get into that because Dr. Weiss raises some interesting implications of what's likely to happen. And he raises and he outlines some of the peculiar problems that the government is going to face. For example, he says, how could the United States save or win back Iraq? And that's a silly question because we can't. The only way we're going to save or win back Iraq is if we exterminate every Muslim in the country. It is not coming back. We never won it in the first place. We aren't going to hold it. It's not going to work with a Christian nation or predominantly Christian nation like the United States. It just isn't. We aren't going to win it. We aren't going to hold it. Foolish question. But we'll take a break. Frank started the music now, even started it a couple seconds early. All right? And he's done it intentionally. He's doing that to needle me. They're all against me, Melody. At least Frank is. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
I'm Alfred Adask. You're on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom, and we're talking about Iraq and reading from an article from Dr. Martin D. Weiss, Ph.D. He's talking about how could the United States save or win Iraq back, and he says, you know, the United States would have to do things that are so unthinkable only a certifiably insane White House would even consider them. For example, we'd have to assist in airstrikes. We'd have to assist the Iraqi Prime Minister Maliki by launching U.S. airstrikes against some of Maliki's own people. That would be the Sunnis who live in Iraq. He's going to have to bomb his own people. We'd have to coordinate closely with the hated Assad regime in Syria for the simple reason that he's currently fighting against precisely the same enemy, the Sunnis, who incidentally, Al-Qaeda, who incidentally our government supported. Yeah, the government would have to enlist the allegiance of Shiite Iran, the only big power in the region that's actually close to the Shiite regime in Iraq, which raises, and now all of a sudden we're talking bomb, 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 Iran. That was Senator McClain's little song from back a decade ago. They've been trying to bomb Iraq for, you know, 6, 8, 10 years. And now all of a sudden maybe we're going to be buddies and pals. And in the process, it would force Iran's sworn enemy, the Sunnis of Saudi Arabia, to cut off all ties with, you know, with Washington, maybe worse. This is a mess. This is an extraordinary mess. I don't know how we're even in there. This is just crazy. I don't know how we ever fell into this trap in the first place. But Dr. Weiss continues, and he says, what happens if the U.S. lets Iraq fall? First, there'll be a deafening cry of a great historic victory by all anti-American forces in the region, injecting new vigor into their quest to take Lebanon, right? Talking about this ISIS group, the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. If they succeed, they're going to take both Iraq and Syria. And then they're going to start looking around, and they're going to want to get Kuwait. They're going to want to get Lebanon. And what they're ultimately doing is trying to restore the caliphate, the one-time regional control by the Muslim caliph. Caliph, I'm not sure of the pronunciation, that ended. The Ottoman Empire is what I'm actually talking about, that ended with the First World War. They're trying to restore that. And they may be able to pull this off. We'll watch and see. If they do, they'll control North Africa, all the Middle East, on up, and even including Turkey before it's done. Under one Muslim control. That's what they're fighting for. Will they succeed? I won't argue that they're going to succeed in restoring the caliphate, but I don't doubt for a minute that that caliphate, that former Ottoman Empire, is a powerful motivator for a lot of the people that are fighting with the Sunnis at this time. Some of them are looking at it and it's, oh my gosh, we're going to restore the caliphate. It will be an almost irresistible motivation for these people. Second point, what happens if the U.S. lets Iraq fall? Well, again, they take Lebanon, topple regimes on the Arabian Peninsula, and return to power in Afghanistan, conquer most of North America, and worst of all, rule nuclear-powered Pakistan. Pakistan does have nukes. If what's going to happen if the Islamic State of Syria and Iraq, or Syria and Iraq, what if they get control ultimately all the way out to Pakistan with nuclear weapons? It's a sobering thought. Second, it'll be the biggest U.S. foreign policy disaster since Vietnam, and that's what brought me to this. One of the comment that came in from the reader or one of the listeners, but this parallels Vietnam. This is a trip to catastrophe. That's what it comes down to. It's just stupidity. We had no business going in there in the first place, and now we're going to pay a price for it. And some people are going to sit back and say, oh, this is terrible. But the truth of the matter is, we pretty much earned our catastrophe. We invaded Iraq and ultimately killed several hundred thousand of their people for the alleged reason of eliminating weapons of mass destruction, and there were none. That whole thing was a damn fraud. We went in, we were dumb enough to support our government in that false invasion, that irrational and unjustifiable invasion. We invaded Iraq in the first place, much the same as the Nazis invaded Poland or France during World War II. We had no more reason to invade Iraq than the Nazis did to invade France. Huh? We were not the good guys, and that's just the truth of the matter. Now we're going to pay a price for it. Now we're going to get caught. The truth is coming out. And it's going to make a lot of people angry and sad and bitter and a bunch of other things. And who knows whose heads are going to roll before this is done. But the truth is, we had no business going in. We got into something we couldn't afford, that we couldn't do, couldn't achieve. And now we are in the biggest U.S. foreign policy disaster since Vietnam, dealing a severe blow to U.S. credibility, hegemony, and influence, not just in the Middle East, but also in Eastern Europe and the Pacific, not only with potential adversaries, but also among close allies in Western Europe and Latin America. We are being shown to be the emperor with no clothes. And that's a bad thing. It's bad for business for the world to say, hey, wait, look, the emperor's nude. And all of a sudden, we become a laughingstock. And we've become a laughingstock ever since GW and his merry men decided to go to war in Iraq. Third, a power shift in the new Cold War will result from this, from Iraq, if Iraq falls. If the U.S. loses Iraq, it automatically emboldens China and Russia. They're going to be inspired. They're going to sit back, ho, ho, ho. They're going to laugh about it. Fourth, economic consequences. If Iraq falls, there'll be a new bull market in gold, rising oil prices, and more. All right? And we may be seeing a little of that in the $40, $42 gold went up yesterday. Maybe. I won't say that's really a reflection of what's happening in Iraq, but it wouldn't be irrational if it was. I think it's premature to think this is a fundamental reason for yesterday's $42 advance in gold. I don't think Iraq is the reason. It may be part of the reason. I'm inclined to think that inflation, a growing awareness of inflation, is more likely the reason. If there is a reason we can point to explain yesterday's $42 increase in gold. But as time goes by, and Iraq becomes increasingly fragile and likely to fall, we're going to see rising oil prices. That's almost certain. We're going to see a new bullion market in gold. It's almost certain. So, what can I tell you? I guess it's nil wind that blows no good, but we would have been better off if the United States had simply learned to mind its own business and stay out. But no, we had to play big shot. And now how's it all going to work out? It's not going to work out. That's how it's going to work out. It's going to work out in a catastrophe, in an embarrassment, whatever. What do you think, Melody? Turn your mic back.
It is a disaster. And, we're going to see impacts in various markets and so forth come from this. And more lives are going to be lost.
Uh-huh.
You know, not putting troops in there. I mean, how can you believe a person when he just lies to the people of this country all the time? I mean, time and time again, he's been proven that he lies.
Mm-hmm.
His lies are very common. So I wouldn't. I think some of the most disturbing, I had it here. I don't have it right in front of me. Congress today passed some sort of a bill. It was the $570 billion defense bill that limits Obama's authority on Guantanamo. Now, here you have the situation going on in Iraq, and the Republican-led House is still concentrating on the American for Taliban swap.
Yep.
It's like, what is wrong with these people? Yesterday, the Gallup poll, their ratings as lowest as they ever been. Was it, 7%?
They probably have a margin of error.
Probably.
They probably had an 8% margin of error in the study, and 7%. They actually think the government's doing okay. The rest of us think they're not. What is wrong with these people, Melody? What do you think's wrong with them?
But this bill, it provides $490 billion for core defense spending and $79 billion for overseas operations in Iraq and Afghanistan and other conflicts. So they approved the money. I mean, there is no such thing as coincidences. They did this today. He spoke yesterday. Yeah. So,
they've approved the money. They say the government, the Congress will say, oh, you can't do this without our permission, a bunch of other. But if they're giving him the money, they're giving him a green light.
They're giving him
to the extent, I don't know how far $79 billion is going to go, but still they're giving him a green light, or at least a yellow light, to proceed if he wants to. The fundamental problem is that people can't publicly admit when they're wrong. And that's the problem, that we are going to go in, we're just going to send in 300 troops right now to protect the embassy or whatever. And it's a dumb idea. If they had any brains, just get the people out of the embassy, put them out of harm's way. Get them all out of there, or at least 90% of them. But it's a dumb idea. And if it turns out that it doesn't work, they're going to say, oh, we're going to need 1,000 people. 300 wasn't enough. We'll need another 1,000. And then we'll need another 5,000. Then we'll need another 10,000. And eventually we will be run out of Iraq the same way we left the last time, having accomplished nothing except getting a number of Americans killed and disposing of a bunch of our wealth over there in the sands of Iraq. There'll be no accomplishment. There'll be no victory. Why will we continue and go one after another and keep escalating? Because no one in a position of authority is going to admit, oops, I screwed up. I shouldn't have put 300 people into Iraq. We shouldn't have invaded to get the weapons of mass destruction. Nobody's going to admit that. There'll be people that'll sit out and accuse, you know, government, people in government to do it. But the government itself keeps thinking if we just throw in another 100,000 people, another 20,000, another whatever, then we can win, and then I will be vindicated and the world will see what a genius I am. It's about an ego. It's an ego contest, and nobody wants to admit when they're wrong. And therefore, they just keep doubling down, doubling down, doubling down. They're like compulsive gamblers at Las Vegas. They lose $100, they bet 200. They lose 200, they bet 400. They lose 400, they'll bet 800. They're betting that it'll turn around and it's going to go their way. And they're just compulsive gamblers. But they can't admit they're wrong, and that is the great, I don't know, the great defect. Here's one for you before we close out. Obama talks tough to Mexico. Illegal immigrant children won't get to stay. This is in the Washington Times. President Obama told his Mexican counterpart, that would be the president of Mexico, in a phone call Thursday that immigrants crossing into the U.S. illegally won't qualify for legalized status or deferred deportation, and that includes children. Now they go on with the article, but here's my notion on a solution to the problem. We allegedly have children coming up from Guatemala. We have children coming up from Honduras, El Salvador, and of course from Mexico. And one way or another, they cross our border, which is just an incredible embarrassment, humiliation. How is it that our border can't even cross, keep children from crossing? What kind of border security do we have if we can't even stop unarmed children from entering this country? All right, but we do have children coming from a number of foreign countries. What do we do with them? Round them up, put them in some kind of a facility. The adults we maybe put in some sort of a detention camp. The children we put in some sort of facility where we try to take care of the children. And why should we do that? Why don't we just take the children that are coming from Honduras and haul their little butts right up to the Honduran embassy, right, wherever it is. And they've probably got two or three of them in this country. We will take the children from Honduras and we will deposit them with the Honduras embassy. And we will tell them, if you let any of these kids get outside of your embassy, we're going to charge you. We will understand it as an act of war. Here's your kids. Take care of them. If you don't want them hanging around the embassy, then put them on an airplane and ship them back to Honduras. But they don't enter this country without a visa. Put them in the embassy. Do the same thing with the Mexican embassies that are in this country. Do the same thing with the El Salvadoran embassies that are in the country and the Guatemalan embassies. They kids come up here, fine. You take care of your kids in your embassies. And when your embassies are so full of kids that you can't even move, then maybe you'll get the idea and say, you know, we got to get our kids back in our country. I'm Alfred Addis. We're out of time. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back on Monday. Have a good weekend. Meantime, may the good Lord bless each and every one of you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.